Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we examine the latest headlines that show the stage is being set for the One World System. Friends, just as David declared to Goliath, we shout back at the forces of evil, "The battle is the Lord's." Our current financial struggles is in God's hands. He'll give us the victory, and He alone will be glorified. Would you sling a rock at the head of this Goliath today? How? Well, just as God worked through David to accomplish a miraculous victory and destroy the mighty giant, would you prayerfully consider what you can give today to sustain Southwest Radio Ministries at this critical moment? This spiritual and financial giant threatens to undo this ministry, but God is greater. Could God have defeated Goliath without David? Yes, most certainly. But God often chooses to do amazing work through people who trust God. What eternal impact could you make today by partnering with Southwest Radio Ministries, dear friend? Please, join us in prayer, and please stand with us at this critical moment in our ministry's history. Your one-time and monthly recurring gifts will enable us to continue slinging stones at the spiritual forces of evil. Call 1-800-652-1144 with your gift today. 1-800-652-1144 or give online swrc.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Greetings, fellow Watchmen on the Wall. We're back with another edition of our Friday Headlines from the End Times program, bringing you seven stories today that share how we're moving towards the biblical end times scenario with each passing week. Our seventh story starts in Mexico. As recent headlines suggest, Mexico is making biometric identifiers mandatory for all citizens. Every single person in Mexico will have to register their biometric identification through this new program. Now, let me give you the details. According to multiple recent reports, Mexico has officially introduced a digital identification system by signing a law that turned the previously optional biometric-based citizen code into a mandatory document for every citizen. It began back in June that legislators approved amendments to a law known as the Unique Population Registry Code. That's the English translation of what it's called in Spanish, and you don't want me to try to attempt to speak this in Spanish, so I'll save you that. But CURP is what the legislation is known as, and the change was formalized last week through a decree. The mandatory biometric registration will contain personal and biometric information, which would include a photograph and also a QR code that contains the biometric fingerprint and iris data. Now, what does that mean? That Mexican citizens will all be forced to do this. They have to register fingerprint scans and have the iris of their eye scanned. It's going to be linked with this biometric registration that has been passed into law. This identification is expected to be introduced gradually to all Mexican citizens by February of next year, February 2026. That's the target that they have in mind. This mandatory digital identification system by the Mexican government. They've also allowed the consolidation of the citizen codes into a single identity platform that'll be connected to other state databases and administrative records in Mexico. So get this, this is what's happening, that they're coalescing this database into one single database. And according to the decree, the Ministry of the Interior, the Digital Transformation Agency, must create a unified identity platform within 90 days. In other words, they have 90 days to put this network together, to put this platform together, while public and private institutions will be required to update their system to recognize that identification. The country also plans to kickstart a national program to collect biometric data from children and adolescents within 120 days, according to some of the Mexican news outlets. Now, this new law does not require authorities to inform citizens when their data is viewed or accessed. This program could also allow Mexico to establish data sharing agreements with other countries, including a deportation deal with the U.S. law enforcement agencies. And I hope that you understand what a big deal this really is. It's helping to see the push toward digital government, and it's so interesting to think about what they are wanting. The scan of the hand and of the iris of the eye. Doesn't Revelation 13 talk about the beast economy having to do with that mark of the beast on the right hand and in the forehead? Wow, isn't this interesting to see how we're taking steps in that direction? And by the way, this isn't voluntary. This is now mandatory for all Mexican citizens. Either comply or else. That's really your choice. There is no choice for Mexican citizens at this point. And these things are rapidly developing. I'm not just picking on Mexico, but there's other countries around the world that are moving in this direction. And it's happening right here in North America. And could it soon come to the U.S.? I'm going to show you in some of the stories as we continue today's headlines from the end times. The mobile driver's licenses are really picking up here in the USA. And in fact, login.gov in our sixth story, it says that they're going to accept passports soon and mobile driver's licenses by next March. And I've said it in many of my conference presentations, especially when I do something like the One World Update, sharing headlines like I'm doing with you today. I believe that login.gov is going to eventually become America's digital hub for all of digital government. I'm talking about IRS, taxes, all those kinds of things. I really think that login.gov is setting itself to be that central hub for America's digital government. That's my personal opinion. But we're seeing more steps being taken in that direction. And my opinion, I think, is backed up by evidence, including this particular recent story, that the U.S. federal government plans to accept mobile driver's licenses for online access to government services as of March of next year, as it's revamping its digital identity capabilities to prevent fraud. They recently released a 40-page roadmap for login.gov and presented by the General Service Administration in a recent industry day, and they plan to support mobile driver's licenses during the first half of the fiscal year 2026, which runs from October to March. But login.gov is first adding passports as evidence for identity verification. If you want to verify your identity with login.gov, now you can use your mobile driver's license or you can use your passport. Now, of course, I previously reported in some of our conferences and other places, and even here on Watchmen on the Wall in a segment I did several months ago, that the U.S. Postal Service is now equipped to provide this identity verification. If you don't have a smartphone, if you're not able to upload a passport photo and all these kinds of things, you can go to your neighborhood post office and they can help you become registered with login.gov. We see it happening here in North America. Our fifth story, as we're continuing down seven stories for headlines through the end times this Friday, several states are racing toward those digital IDs. And I'm going to look at several states and what they're doing and how they're moving in this direction. Let's start in the state of Georgia. Shout out to our listeners in the great state of Georgia. Digital driver's licenses stored in secure mobile wallet apps are now valid for identification during traffic stops. They just recently passed a House bill, and it's made into law, marking the state's first step in embracing mobile driver's license technology. For now, the law, quote, allows but does not compel law enforcement to accept these digital versions, end quote. Now, state law enforcement agencies will have to start accepting these digital IDs and must have equipment capable of verifying them, but not until July the 1st of 2027, two more years, basically. Police have these 2 years to procure the technology that they need for digital identity verification, meaning drivers are well advised to carry their physical IDs until then. Well, not just in Georgia, but also up in North Dakota. And again, we give a shout out to our wonderful listeners in North Dakota Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Well, your state is introducing a mobile driver's license this fall. The Grand Forks Herald reports that North Dakota's digital driver's license is on track to be launched in the fall of 2025. Officials there acknowledge the time may take for adoption, but believe that convenience and habit will win out. There it is. This is the way these things are always sold, dear friends. It's more convenient. It's easier. It's more secure. It's safety. It's security. These are the marketing gimmicks that are connected to all these kinds of things every single time. Now, here is a quote from a driver's license division director with the state's Department of Transportation. His name is Brad Schaefer. He said, quote, over time, the more people start seeing this, the more comfortable they will get with it. Oh, that's all that it takes, doesn't it, friends? You know, just give it time and people will just gradually buy in because this is what everybody does. He went on to say, quote, digital ID is rapidly replacing plastic. We've seen it with banking. Now we're seeing it with the driver's license. Getting a mobile license now is going to put you ahead as more services go digital. They're going to be more accepted across the state and across the country, end quote. You see the push, and this is the reason why I'm sharing these stories with you, is because there's this push of technology that says we can't be left behind. And if you really want to be involved in banking, and it's interesting that this Department of Transportation spokesman for North Dakota is talking about digital banking and now the digital identification. Friends, we are certainly moving in that direction. Now, I'm not accusing him of being nefarious, but I'm just saying the marketing of these products and how it's being sold to you and I, it helps us to see the mindset that is emerging in our world today. And how people will buy into the coming beast system that'll be here during the tribulation period. We are not in the tribulation. I reiterate that again. We are not currently in the tribulation period, but these things show the setting of the stage to move in that direction. A one-world government, a one-world economy, a one-world system of worship, hallmarked and recorded for us in Revelation chapter 13. And day by day, little by little, step by step, we are moving in that direction. That's why I'm showing you these things today and sharing this information with you. It's because you need to know what is happening. Because the more that you understand these things, the more that you see through these things and understand the tactics behind some of these kinds of things, the more aware you can be, the more prepared you can be for what's coming. And you can stand as a watchman on the wall and know to look out and what to look out for, what is coming on the horizon that we need to be aware of. And friends, I want to just encourage you, connect with our website, swrc.com. You can download our mobile app by going to your app store and typing in these four letters, SWRC, and you can get all of our content right there, whether that's our Watchman on the Wall radio program that you're currently listening to, our weekly Prophecy in the News television show, and also connect with the other wonderful ministries that we have here at SWRC. Tons of wonderful resources available at our website and by giving us a call, 1-800-652-1144. This is August 1st, and coming up later this month, we're going to be in New Prague, Minnesota with a Prophecy in the News live. You're going to be hearing more information along the lines that I'm sharing with you. So if you're anywhere close, or maybe you just want to take a trip to Minnesota, beautiful people, wonderful scenery, and we're going to be there, and we want to see you there. Details are available at swrc.com, or by giving us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's Prophecy in the News Live, coming to New Prague, Minnesota, and we would love to see you there. There's one more state I want to highlight before I move on to our fourth story. In today's headlines from the End Times, I'm Josh Davis, staff evangelist with Southwest Radio Ministries. The state of Louisiana, another shout out to our dear friends listening in Louisiana. We know there's several of you. We hear from you and we are grateful for you. And did you know that your state is leading the way in some respects? They are pioneering the push towards a digital ID. So when all is said and done, Louisiana seems to be the pioneer of these mobile driver's licenses in the U.S. and the state was the first to launch a mobile driver's license program through its LA Wallet app, and that has been available since 2018. Now, according to a release, the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, has certified the LA Wallet as compliant with federal requirements. So what does that mean? Basically, Louisiana residents can present this LA Wallet, this digital ID, at all the TSA security checkpoints, at federal buildings, at courthouses for the next 3 years, and then it'll be reevaluated and see how everything's working. But they have cleared it for takeoff, so to speak, no pun intended. So at the TSA security checkpoints at your airports, again, at federal buildings, courthouses, you can use that digital identification. Again, we're taking the steps in that direction. Well, our fourth story in today's headlines from the End Times. Not one, but several, Mark Zuckerberg eyes more mega data centers for AI. The Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg teases that he's building several power-hungry data centers to develop AI super intelligence. That's right. This comes from PC Mag, and the article says that in his pursuit to create AI super intelligence, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg is teasing plans to build not one, but several energy-hungry data centers dedicated to AI training. Now, it was back in January that Zuckerberg mentioned creating a data center so large that it would cover parts of Manhattan Island if it was placed in New York City. Last week, he indicated Facebook's parent company, Meta, has been expanding on those plans by investing hundreds of billions of dollars to compute to build super intelligence, end quote. So the resulting data centers will not only feature hundreds of thousands of AI-focused GPUs, but will also require over 1,000 megawatts of electricity. That amounts to a gigawatt. Now, I don't know about you. Megawatts, gigawatts, sounds like megabytes, gigabytes. What is that? Put it into practical language for me, Josh. Okay, here you go. For comparison, a gigawatt can power nearly 1 million homes annually. That's about as much or more than 15 of our U.S. states' households. More than 15 states is what one of these would drain in electricity. But they're not stopping there. Zuckerberg wrote in a Facebook post recently, quote, "We're actually building several multi-GW gigawatt clusters. We're calling the first one Prometheus. It's coming online in 2026. We're also building Hyperion, which will be able to scale up to 5 gigawatts over several years." Again, for comparison, 5 gigawatts could potentially power about 5 million homes. That's more than all but 4 U.S. states. Isn't that amazing to think about how much electricity these things are going to drain? But Zuckerberg isn't just settling for 2 mega data centers. In the same post, he wrote, quote, "We're building multiple more Titan clusters as well. Just one of these covers a significant part of the footprint of Manhattan," end quote. His post is the latest sign of how aggressively the largest tech companies are racing to build AI that promises to surpass human intelligence. In addition to this data center push, Meta has been offering huge compensation packages valued at up to over $100 million to bring in and, to, in some cases, to poach the top AI researchers from other companies like OpenAI and Apple. Yeah, there is this massive arms race in technology, especially with AI, as all of these tech companies and every industry is trying to get to the front of the crowd when it comes to AI research and trying to become first place in these kinds of things. You see the direction that our world is moving, dear friends. Well, it's not just Mark Zuckerberg, it's not just Facebook, Meta, etc. Now, in our third story, we want to share how that Elon Musk's AI chatbot Grok was granted a contract with the U.S. Department of Defense. Now, despite his frequent criticism of government spending and how he led DOGE for several months, Musk's artificial intelligence startup xAI inked a contract with the Department of Defense and announced their Grok for Government program. The DOD said last week that it awarded contracts worth up to $200 million to companies like xAI, Google, Anthropic, and OpenAI to accelerate its AI adoption, less than a week after the Grok chatbot shared some anti-Semitic messages. And we're seeing how these things are setting the stage. Our second story comes from the state of New Jersey, as lawmakers there are seeking to force homeschoolers to teach the same radical ideologies as government schools. Wonderful author and Christian fellow watchman on the wall, Alex Newman, makes us aware of this in an article that he recently wrote. He says that as more families flee from increasingly extreme public education, New Jersey lawmakers have a radical new bill to force homeschool parents, get that, homeschool parents, to teach their children using the same dumbed-down standards and outrageous ideologies as government schools. That means even homeschool students would be forcibly subjected to dangerous propaganda on everything from climate change, race-mongering, and fake history to homosexuality and transgenderism. To graduate, families would have to prove that they complied with the state's directives. Now, critics, though, are speaking out and vowing to fight back. Even more alarming, though, is that they would have to align their curriculum and their standards with the state's programs. In addition to the letter containing private information on the child and family, the bill states that the parent or guardian shall submit a copy of the curriculum that will be utilized in home education program, which shall be aligned with the New Jersey student learning standards. When New Jersey's Common Core aligned scheme was adopted back in 2020, the state's quote-unquote learning standards are among some of the most radical in the nation. They were developed with key input from some real perverts and abortionists, including Planned Parenthood and more. And so under the standards, children as young as four years old are bombarded with grotesque sexual propaganda aimed at breaking down moral values in the family. From encouraging children to choose new gender identities to normalizing every form of perversion imaginable, the standards are unprecedented in their extremism. Among its other demands, the legislation requires a detailed portfolio for each student, including lists of reading materials, samples of writing, worksheets, workbooks, creative materials used or developed by the student. So the child will have to be evaluated by a government-approved person to certify that appropriate education is occurring. So the government's war on homeschooling in America is just getting started. But as has been the case in multiple nations in Europe, the end goal is to eliminate home education, parental rights, and all choice. Friends, I recently brought you the story out of Brazil, how that a mother was under attack from the government for homeschooling her son. We're seeing it happening across the world. What's the goal here? Why does this line up with the end times? They want every child to be indoctrinated to believe what the state wants him or her to believe. That's the goal in all this. Again, we point to the scripture and we understand that they need to brainwash the masses to get them on board with these kinds of things. But for American parents, parental rights and educational liberty must be non-negotiable, Alex Newman comments. This is a hill to die on. Now, another recent report shows you there's more going on here than we realize, as some recently unearthed emails shed light on the Biden Department of Justice and the memo that called parents that were concerned about what their kids are being taught and labeled them domestic terrorists back in 2021. Do you remember that happening? We made you aware of it. But the Biden White House communicated with the U.S. Department of Justice before a 2021 memo labeled parents who spoke out about COVID-19 restrictions and LGBT curriculum during the school board meetings as domestic terrorists, according to documents released under the Freedom of Information Act. So the memo's critics claimed that it challenged parents' right to speak at school board meetings. And when pressed about this situation by Republican lawmakers, former U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland stated that the DOJ acted independently of the White House, saying that we're not in cahoots here, we're not working together. The Department of Justice did that without the advisement of the White House. Now, that is being disputed. In fact, America First Legal President Jean Hamilton said in a statement recently, the Biden administration appears to have engaged in a conspiracy that was ultimately aimed at depriving parents of two fundamental rights, the right to speak and the right to direct the upbringing of their own children, end quote. Our first story as we get to what is happening in Israel, as Israel has intervened to stop a massacre in Syria. Amir Sarfati, a guest who has been here on Watchman on the Wall, a faithful watchman on the wall as well, who lives in Israel. We've recently seen what's happened in Syria and how Israel has gone in and helped to protect the Druze community, those people, many of whom live in Israel, over 150,000, as a matter of fact, living in Israel. And the Syrian government has been committing a genocide against these people. And it's interesting to see there has just been total silence by people with these attacks. Where are the people like the United Nations, the UK, France, Nordic countries, Canada, Italy, these nations who were so quick to jump on Israel and saying genocide, genocide, genocide when it came to what Israel was doing to defend itself? And now it's happening in Syria, and it's just crickets. What is going on there? You see the spiritual effects at work in these kinds of stories, and we need to continue watching these kinds of things, keeping our eye on that. But ultimately, friends, let me leave you with a call to keep looking up, to look to Jesus in this day. When we see these things happening, we don't look down, we don't look around with fear, but we look up to the Lord Jesus Christ as we're walking by faith through these days. We know that God has put His church here for such a time as this. We've got to get out His truth. We've got to get out His gospel with a sense of urgency as we understand the signs of the times. Thank you so much for joining me today. Look forward to joining with you again next time, dear friends.
Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us. And then tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Learn more by visiting our website, swrc.com. And friends, I want to send a special thank you to everyone who is giving gifts this week. We need to hear from you right now. Your support allows us to produce these programs and publications. You can give today by calling 1-800-652-1144. And Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring more clarity to the chaos. So head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.